summer, we've been exploring some of the questions that Jesus asked people throughout the Bible. And as we've been exploring these questions that Jesus asked others, we have realized that he is still asking us those questions today. And these questions can be provocative and uncomfortable, but they're so pastoral and caring and helpful. We've learned that Jesus doesn't ask these questions to people and to us to acquire information, but that these questions are asked so that we may learn things about ourselves and we may discover things that are going on under the surface, longings or desires that we weren't even aware of. And so before we jump into the question that Jesus asked Peter this weekend, let me ask you, if you could go back in time and have a do-over on a choice or a moment or a compromise, what moment would that be? Or to put it another way, is there a moment in your story that you avoid talking about or identifying or you just try and bury it? Is there a secret that you do everything you can to try and keep hidden? Would you like to be free from that? We all have defining moments in our lives that we think disqualify us or prevent us from stepping into all that Jesus has for us. But what if there is a way towards vibrancy of soul and a way to recover? Professor Washington Okumu rightly said that there is no future without forgiveness. So if we want a future of vibrancy and life and freedom, we need to be real and honest about our failures in our lives. And we need to explore forgiveness. And as we explore the question that Jesus asked Peter, I believe as we explore that question for ourselves, we can discover healing and freedom and purpose and love in new ways. But make no mistake, to get there takes courage and vulnerability and likely some hard conversations. And that's what brings us to this weekend's question. In John 21, we read this. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Now this conversation is a major moment between Peter and Jesus. And for this moment to make sense, we should just go back a few days before this encounter. Jesus, a few days before, he was talking about his upcoming death, that he was going to be going to the cross. And he said, "I'm going to be betrayed." And then Peter, this Peter, with all the bravado you can imagine, he says, "Lord, even if all else betray you, I will never do that." And Jesus said, "Peter, by the end of the night, you're going to deny me three times." A few hours later, Peter's standing around a campfire. And this slave girl said, "Hey, weren't you one of those people with Jesus?" And Peter betrays, "No." And it happens two more times. Peter denied Jesus three times, and we read that Peter and Jesus made eye contact. And Peter realized that he had failed Jesus, that his statement of bravado was empty and hollow. shortly after Jesus died on the cross. After Peter's betrayal, after Jesus' death, Peter went right back to his old way of life before he ever even knew Jesus, as if the years of following and walking with Jesus never even happened. He went back to his old job, to his old location, and no doubt as he went back, he's processing his failures, like, oh man, I can't believe I did that in Jesus' last moments. But I'm guessing Peter also felt a little bit like Jesus had failed him. Messiahs don't die like that. They're supposed to rule and reign, not die on a cross. And it was in this moment when Peter had gone back to his old way of life that the conversation happened. And like we just read, it starts by saying, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? So Jesus prepares a fire. He made breakfast. They ate. And there is so much drama in this opening scene, but it can be easy to miss. So where's the drama in this moment? Like I said, the last time that Peter and Jesus made eye contact with each other, Peter was standing around a fire when he had denied Jesus three times. They made eye contact around this fire. And then here in John 21, Jesus recreates this scene. He makes a fire. He invites Peter around it. They have breakfast around that fire. Peter had probably replayed that moment of failure on the fire hundreds of times. What was I thinking? Why was I so scared of a slave girl? Just going through it. And then here in John 21, Peter finds himself around a fire again with Jesus and eye contact happening. I love that the Bible gives us these details. They have breakfast together. And there's a few things this teaches us. First thing, Jesus is patient and kind with us. He waited until after breakfast. Jesus moves at an appropriate pace. When we fail, when we make poor choices, it is so easy for us to think, oh, God's out to get me. God's angry. He's upset and he's in a rush to fix me and to just get this failure out of me. And we see here, that's just not the Jesus way. Jesus fed him. He'd been up all night. He nourished him. He took care of him. He strengthened him. He hung out with him. He had a conversation with him. He provides and cares for Peter, and he's not in a rush. Jesus knows when we're ready to have conversations, and we can trust his leadership and his guidance and his pace to identify what the things are that he brings to the surface. And then finally, we recognize here that God sees and remembers the details of our lives. The more I journey with Jesus, the more I realize his holiness and his attentiveness to my life and the desire that he has to bring the moments in my life that were out of alignment with him back into alignment with him. The things that are hurt within me, the failures that I have, the ways in which I have been hurt, whether it's choices I've made or things that people have done to me, God remembers these details better than I do. And he brought Peter to a campfire to restore the pain of the betrayal around another campfire. And Jesus brings us all to moments to restore the hurts and the failures of previous events, to bring wholeness to us. But here's another thing we see with Peter. Failure, whether it's from our choices or others' choices that have hurt us, can cause us to get stuck. Peter went back to his old way of life. And it's all too easy for us in failure and hurts and pains to get stuck and to go back as if our walk and journey with Jesus had never happened. So as we have been doing throughout this whole series, where we've been having people share moments and stories of their lives to help us understand these questions in new ways, we're going to do that right now. And I get to be joined up here with one of my friends, with Tolu, and she's volunteered to share her story with us to help us understand this. So Tolu, why don't you tell us who you are?
Well, my name is Tolu Shalala. I've been a member here at First since 2013 when I moved here with my family from England. I'm married to Tomi. We have two amazing children, Tiwa and Tammy, and that's us.
That's great. Astute observers and longtime attendees of FAC may recognize you being on stage, but normally you're hiding behind some keys. What are you doing up here? Why are you on stage? And tell us a little bit about the ways you've been engaged with FAC over the last while.
So I'm really blessed to be here. It's not my comfort zone, but it's such a blessing and a privilege. So I've been here serving as a ministry apprentice the last few weeks. I have been working in medicine for a number of years as a family physician, but I'm on a journey, and right now I'm pursuing some further education, and as part of that, I'm here learning from the ministries here at First Alliance about vocational ministry, and that's why I'm here.
And it has been such a joy for me to be able to spend more moments with you and ministry conversations. It's been a lot of fun. But you volunteered for this particular weekend. Months ago, when we were saying and walking through the different questions that we'd be asking and how we wanted to have people tell their story, you said, "Failure, I'll share," which takes a lot of courage, takes a lot of boldness. So can you tell us a little bit about your story and why this weekend was one that you particularly wanted to share?
Yeah, you know, succeeding has been something very important to me. Like, you could say my biggest fear was actually the fear of failure. So when I saw this, I just felt that nudge that I needed to step forward, because I had so many expectations that I placed on myself, on my journey. And as you can imagine, I hardly ever met those expectations. So every time I didn't, I felt I'd failed or that I was not doing well. And I added another failure to my dossier of failures that I kept on myself. But then God took me on another route on my journey where he exposed my heart, basically. So I'll take you back. In 2003, at the beginning, I was in a really good place. You see, I'd given my life to Jesus since I was a child, and I knew Jesus as my forever friend. I had that place of comfort. That was probably the one place where I didn't feel that I could fail, because I had so much trust in my Lord Jesus and that he was with me. But in 2003, where I was feeling really good, I was like, Lord, if anyone else leaves you, I'm not leaving you, my forever friend. And it was such a good year. It started out really good. Tomi and I found out we were expecting our first child. My dad had, after many years, given his life to Jesus, and God was healing my parents' marriage. It started out really well. Then in April of that year, I got news that my dad had actually been murdered. I'm going to keep it short, but extremely shocking to all of us. A few weeks after his funeral, Tomi and I had a miscarriage. And those are the kinds of things that I expected in my walk I wouldn't have to deal with. It was the area I thought I'm never going to have to go. But God is so good. In 2004, he gave us our son, Tiwa, and that was amazing. But it wasn't smooth sailing. We ran into all sorts of other difficulties in even our marriage, because Tomi had to live away from home and work away from home. Difficulties because of expectations, again, that I placed on myself. And I just, I didn't realize my heart was getting colder and colder. I was in church, I was serving, but I was what I call a Christian skeptic or an unbelieving believer. And when I got to the end of myself, the signs started to show. I lost my joy, I lost my hope, I lost my love. And when everything crashed, I didn't feel my life was worth living. But I'm so grateful to God that as much as I wavered, Jesus was there. He never left me, and I was able to pray. And also, Jesus sent me people who at that time of my life were able to stand with me and just love me through, and God used them to minister to me. But in the place of prayer, Jesus opened up my heart and he showed me what was there, how I was carrying this burden of guilt and shame because I felt I had failed. You know, I'd failed myself. I failed my family. And then I was also carrying this burden of accusation where I felt God had failed me. Like, we were supposed to be tight, and I felt he didn't protect me. He wasn't there for me when I needed him. And unknown to me, I was carrying all these burdens. But when Jesus opened my heart, he helped me to put those down. And that's when I started to receive healing. And Jesus reminded me that he's the resurrection and the life. He is the life. And our friendship isn't just for this realm. It's all the way to eternity. And he completely changed my perspective. And I'm still on that journey today.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. Opening up a little bit about your story. When we first met, it was just to talk about you sharing your story this weekend. That's where it began. And as we did that, and as we talked about what some of your desires were for your apprenticeship here, it was to preach. And so I'm like, well, why don't we study together? Why don't you join me in my sermon prep and kind of see how I go through that? And the more we did that together, the more your insight into the word and your perspective and all that God was revealing to you, it just became really clear to both of us that, well, why don't we just preach together? And so I was, why don't you just continue to open God's word for us as we continue on through John 21.
Thank you, Kyle. So this passage in John 21 has been so meaningful to me. I think it paints a picture so beautifully of what the Bible does, which is to tell us the story of God with us. And as we read the dialogue between the risen Jesus here and Peter, we read not just their story, but in the timeless fashion of the Bible, we are reading our story, the story of us and Jesus, his church, and the story of Jesus and every person that he died and resurrected for. In this passage, we hear Jesus ask Peter 3 times, do you love me? I always read it like it was Jesus asking 3 times, do you love me? But the more we studied this, I realized there are actually 3 unique encounters that Jesus has with Peter for 3 times that Peter denied him. So in the first one, Jesus asks, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And when I look there, I see how Jesus called Peter Simon, son of John, with the name that he bore before Jesus named him Peter. Because Jesus was saying, I know you, Peter. I know where you are. I know how you got here. I know your journey. I know you failed. I know everything. And it stunned me because I know that even now, Jesus knows us all by name. And yet, he loves us all the same. Like, he's the same thing, Simon, son of John. And then I heard Jesus give Peter this challenge, do you love me more than these? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly what these was referring to, but we only need to look around Peter and we see a few things. We see first the other disciples, the band of brothers who followed Jesus on his ministry. And if you read their dialogues, you'll see maybe there was some subtle competition going on somewhere, like Peter even saying, Lord, if everyone else deserts you, I won't. And, you know, others saying, oh, who's going to sit on your left and your right, Jesus, in your kingdom? Or, you know, which disciple does Jesus love the most? And then also we see Peter's fishing boat and the fish and how Peter had gone back to his comfort zone, back to his profession where he felt comfortable, he knew what he was doing, he could control his outcomes. And then we see the fish, which were like the sign, the reward of his hard work. And Jesus was asking, Peter, do you love me more than these, more than your reputation, your ambition, your image, more than your ability and your strength, your profession, your income, your stuff, your family, your friends? Do you love me more than these? Now, I really, really like Peter personally. He inspires me so much. His story we hear so much because he's the one disciple whose honesty just shone through in all his conversations. And I love how Peter here says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. first thing Peter did was to say, yes, Lord. You know, I'm convinced that we cannot get to the places and the promises that Jesus has prepared for us if we don't first say, yes, Lord. And I just love how Peter here says, yes, Lord. But the English translation here, it kind of doesn't help us see a few things. You may remember a few weeks ago, Pastor Jeff talked about those three Greek words for love: agape, phileo, eros, and he explained what they all meant. You know, the agape is like the God kind of love, the love that Jesus referred to in John 3:16 when he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It's like this committed, dedicated, even to the point of sacrifice kind of love, the God kind of love. And then the phileo is more a respectful, I hold you in high regard, brotherly, friendly kind of love. And so when Jesus said, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He was actually saying, do you agape me? Now, please just forgive me, Greek speakers. I don't speak Greek, forgive me. But he was saying, Peter, do you have this agape love? And Peter, in his answer, actually said, yes, Lord, I phileo you. Did Peter just friend zone Jesus here? I think he did. He said, Lord, I highly regard you, I like you, but he didn't say, I agape you back. But here's the beauty of our Lord in his grace, forgiveness, and mercy. He didn't condemn Peter, he simply said, feed my lambs. Now, if you know any shepherds, you may know the lamb is precious even to the shepherd's heart. And so here is Jesus, the good shepherd, saying to Peter, the guy who denied him three times, who just friend-zoned him, and he's saying, feed my lambs. And this, for me, just shows how Jesus was still willing to commit to Peter, despite Peter's seeming lack of, you know, full commitment. It's like Jesus didn't need a perfect resume from Peter. He was still willing to partner with him, because this is not like a soul ownership here. When Jesus called Peter, he knew he didn't need Peter to be perfect. He knew that he would be partnering with Peter, working with him, working through him. And so Jesus was confident to say, feed my lambs. It's okay. It's not just you. Jesus was going to be going with Peter, working through him, through his Holy Spirit. On to the second question, Jesus asked Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now again, Jesus was asking, do you agape me? And Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know I phileo you. I love how Peter said, yes, Lord, you know, because he knew he couldn't lie to Jesus. He was speaking to the one who sees deep into our hearts. And he said, yes, Lord, I phileo you. And once again, Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Now, in this encounter, it's so, Peter had seen Jesus all-powerful. He'd seen him provide. He fed the 5,000. He'd seen him protect. He walked on water and rescued his disciples. He'd seen him have all power. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. But here was Jesus asking, do you love me, the person? Do you love Jesus? Because we also know that Peter had seen Jesus walked to the cross, where Jesus, by his own self, laid down his privilege as the Son of God. And Jesus was asking, Peter, do you love me? Do you love Jesus? And then the third time around, Jesus asked Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now again, here is where the English doesn't show us what's going on, because Jesus was saying, Peter, do you phileo me? He wasn't asking about agape anymore. He switched it now and he was saying, do you phileo me? And the Bible says Peter was hurt, because this third time Jesus asked, do you phileo me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know all things. You know I phileo you. And Jesus said once again, feed my sheep. You know, Peter was hurt. And we don't see clearly why here, but maybe he was hurt because Jesus opened up his heart to that deep place where no one else knew, where no one else had exposed. And when Jesus opened up Peter's heart and he saw what was in there, and he saw he couldn't commit to agape love, and Jesus wasn't even asking about that anymore, he was hurt. But the beauty here is, even though Jesus challenged Peter, he didn't leave him where he was. He challenged him to transform and change him. And we only need to turn a few pages to the book of Acts, 1st and 2nd Peter, and we will see that Peter became a changed man. Jesus didn't leave him where he was here. And then he said to him, "Feed my sheep," again offering him that hand of partnership. And it's just awesome to see Peter's journey here. First, we saw him at the campfire where he denied Jesus 3 times. And now we see him at the campfire where Jesus restores him 3 times. And we are all on this journey. So God bless you on your journey.
Thanks, Tolu. It's so good. The place of Peter's pain and failure became the place that Jesus wanted to bring restoration, healing, and wholeness to him. So let me ask you, what campfire is Jesus preparing for you? Where is he inviting you to go? He's patient. He's kind. He provides for us, but he also loves us enough to ask us hard questions. Jesus asks 3 questions because there were 3 denials. He doesn't go too far, but he doesn't cut short. He wants Peter to be fully restored. And Jesus needed Peter to forgive himself and to accept the forgiveness that he was offering him, but he also needed Peter to tell the truth about himself. And we see that old adage from AA come true, that we are only as sick as the secrets we keep. Where is it in our lives that we need to tell the truth? To bring to the surface. Jesus met Peter where he was. Where is Jesus meeting us today? What this encounter shows us is that in failure, whether it's our fault or we've been hurt from someone, it's way too easy for us to go back to the lowest common denominator of our emotional, relational, or spiritual health. We go back to where our default zone is, or we just give up altogether. But Jesus, in his kindness, he doesn't leave us there. He calls us, he comes to us, and he invites us out. And I've said it here before, but what Jesus reveals, he wants to heal. And in Jesus and Peter, Jesus is revealing his betrayal and his failures. And he's calling to Peter. And I end with this. Not only did Jesus call Peter out of his shame and pain, but Jesus also called Peter to a purpose. So there's 2 calls here. And Jesus extends these 2 calls to every one of us. Jesus calls us out of our shame, out of our pain, out of our betrayal, out of our denials, out of our secrets, so we can stand in healing and wholeness with him. It's time to come out of embarrassment, to step into freedom, out of the darkness, into the light. That's the first call that Jesus gives to us. So we're no longer held down from experiencing the life that he died to give us. But Peter and all of us, we're also called in another way. We're called to go out. We're called to a purpose. As Tolu mentioned, each time Peter friend-zoned Jesus or diminished his love for Jesus, Jesus called him to a task. Yes, Jesus, you know I love you. Okay, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. And Jesus is showing here, and we learn that our love for Jesus is seen and shown by caring for others. Jesus asks, "Do you love me? Feed my lambs, my sheep, my sheep." Our love for Jesus is shown not in just answering the right question or knowing the right verse. Our love for Jesus is shown in how we care for the people around us, how we care for his people. Notice that at the beginning, Jesus fed Peter. And then he says, "Now go feed my sheep." What Jesus does in us what Jesus does for us. He's saying, now go and do likewise to the world around you. He will never ask us to do anything that he has not already done for us. So friends, who is Jesus asking you to take care of? The final word in John 21 in this passage, it belongs to Jesus, what he says to Peter. And he said to him, follow me. And this is the call that's extended to everyone who calls him Lord. Follow Jesus. Do we love Jesus? It's what Tolu just asked. Do we love Jesus for who he is enough to follow him? Do we love him for who he is, not for what he does? Do we love him for who he is? To follow him out of our pain, to follow him out of our shame, to follow him out of our comfort zone, to follow him out to feeding the people and to taking care of the people in our world. Do we love him enough to forgive ourselves and others and to accept his forgiveness? FAC, do we love him to have uncomfortable conversations for healing and wholeness? Care for the people in our world? Do we love him? Feed his people. Follow him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for Jesus that refuses to leave us in our failures and our pain and in our secrets and in our hiding, but he calls us out to experience your glorious freedom and your grace and your mercy. Lord, today I don't know what everyone is going through, and perhaps a moment in time that has just been buried or hidden or covered. And God, I just ask that we will have the courage to love you enough to step out of our comfort zone, to stand for you, and to follow you wherever it is you're leading us. We love you. We need you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.